Welcome to a Frugal Athlete podcast, where we interview athletes, both current and former, on the prudent financial practices and smart career decisions they are making. In these episodes, we dive into what it means to be a frugal athlete. You might think that frugal just means being cheap, but as you will soon learn, being frugal is more complex than that.
Hey, what's up? I'm Amobi Okugo, a.k.a. a frugal athlete. So check this out. We came out with an all-new, extensive, brand-new course. Our course, Rookie Mistakes, is a course that helps young athletes and individuals avoid the common mistakes when starting your career. I provide real-life examples, lessons, insights, all that and more to teach you how to identify the rookie mistakes before you make them. And trust me, I've made a lot. It's all about giving yourself the best foundation and head start to build financial and career stability. For more information or to get the course, check out the link in bio.
Welcome to another episode of A Frugal Athlete Podcast. Today we got one of the a good gentleman, someone that's, you know, blazing his trail, his own path, someone that I really am excited about having on the podcast, not only for his, you know, background in sports, but what he's doing in the Hollywood scene. Evan Odeseye. Did I say it right?
Say it one more time.
Oh, now you're going to call me out. Okay, so Evan Odeseye.
Yeah.
Odeseye. Yes. Oh, yeah, yes. Perfect. Yes. So, fellow Nigerian, so Yoruba boy, I'm Igbo, so we're brothers. But before I go on a rant, Evan, how are you doing today?
Man, I'm well. You know, just thankful for life, thankful for good health. You know, just thankful to be here. Thank you for having me on your show.
Nah, I appreciate you coming on. So obviously you're a busy man, but yo, so give us some backstory. You know, what you all about for the folks that may not know you. I know you because I'm a big movie guy, and thank you. You was on our podcast, Pass the Remote, or sorry, our show. And for those that don't know, I have another show, Pass the Remote. You were able to come on and tell your story, but this is a whole completely new podcast. This is A Frugal Athlete, where we talk to athletes or key stakeholders around athletes, around money management, you know, how they make, manage, and multiply their money through financial education and athlete empowerment. So we wanted you to come on the show and kind of tell your story. So I'm talking a lot right now.
Nah, you good, man.
Give us a backstory.
So former Division I football player, actually graduated from college in 2015. I started at South Carolina State. And from South Carolina State, I finished my career at Wagner College, a small Division I AA in the Northeast Conference. South Carolina State was a great experience for me. It was a Division I school, which was my dream to play Division I football. It was HBCU, another dream of mine to attend HBCU. So I got to see like the fraternities and the sororities there. You know, I got to play against prestigious schools like, you know, Hampton, Howard, Morgan State, you know, those type of schools. And I really just got to experience, you know, that Southern food in the cafeteria, fried chicken, mac and cheese, all that good stuff. You know what I'm saying? So that helped me my freshman year of college because I got to college. I was like 199 pounds soaking wet. And by the end of my freshman year, I got up to 240. So, you know, it was a great experience. I started actually my major at South Carolina State was civil engineering, but I knew, you know, trying to do that and play football, that was going to be very, what's the word? I guess you could say very vigorous. And so I transitioned from civil engineering to business management. And, you know, I finished up at Wagner College with a degree in management and a degree in marketing. And I had a few workouts for some CFL teams. And when I decided that playing football professionally wasn't going to be the route that I took, I said, hey, let me figure out how to stay like close to the game, you know?
And what was that decision like? Like, how did that decision come about? Was it kind of like, I'm not feeling it? Or was it like almost by force? How was that decision process?
I would say more by force. Well, I don't want to use the word force, right? Because I feel like if I really worked hard at it and really dedicated myself to the craft, I feel like I could have made it professionally. But, you know, I was just young at the time and football was my focus, but it wasn't my focus, right? Like I didn't do all the necessary things, training twice a day, making sure I had a great diet and just doing all the necessary steps to put myself in the best position and make myself more marketable. So it was a tough decision for me, but then I thought about it and I was like, how can I stay as close to the game as possible? And I was like, well, shoot, I got a degree in marketing, a degree in management. Like, let me kind of put those to use. And so I reached out to a childhood friend of mine, Dominique Easley, who was a first round pick of the New England Patriots. And just through reaching out to him, I said, listen, you know, let me handle your brand management and marketing. You know, first year, you don't have to pay me anything. Like, let me just prove my worth. And from working with him, I got connected with some other NFL guys. And Kevin Serafin, who played for the New York Knicks at the time, he was a first round pick of the Washington Wizards. He actually reached out to me through Instagram because he saw the marketing and the branding that I was doing for Dominique. And, you know, he invited me out to a game. He left two tickets for me, and I brought my grandmother with me because she's a big basketball fan, big New York Knicks fan. And, you know, after the game, you know, we just chopped it up over dinner and ended up working with Kevin and became best friends with him, actually, and, you know, went into business with him. So we have a jet ski business and we're working on some other stuff. A franchise that kind of got delayed due to COVID. But And then just, you know, through working with Dominique, I was able to like work on some consulting stuff, put something together for like guys like Aaron Donald. And then I worked with a few other guys in the NFL. And then kind of just had a complete change of heart, right? Because acting is something I knew I always wanted to do. But I just knew like when I decided to do it, I had to commit fully to it. And so, you know, after I decided that I was no longer going to do the marketing and stuff for athletes, I said, let me just jump right into acting. And yeah, kind of like where I am now.
Respect. So I want to unpack, you know, your time as a student athlete first. And we're going to go through like chronological order. You mentioned you went to two different schools. Obviously, you went to HBCU first, and then you went to Division I AA. NIL is coming around. What are your views on that? And if you were to do it all over again from a student athlete standpoint, how would you have been able to or try to monetize on your likeness, your name, image, and likeness?
Good question. So if I was to do it all over again, that's a tough question. I would probably say I would have walked on to a D1A school for the football standpoint of it, because now I look at how I don't want my statement to come off the wrong way, but I look at how now branding yourself can kind of get you to where you need to be. And so I feel like, you know, if you walk onto a D1A school, you know, and you learn the program, you learn the system, and you have a good solid junior or senior year, you could put yourself in a better position than someone who goes to like a D1 AA or a D2 or a D3 and four-year starter, right? Because you have a bigger network, a bigger platform, you're playing television games. So I think it's a little different. So if I was able to do it all over again, I probably would, you know, go that route. My favorite college growing up was Virginia Tech. I don't know if I could do it all over again, if that's the school I would go to, but I definitely would, you know, like I said, I would go the Division I route, walk on, and just use that, right? Because a lot of the guys that play at like the Alabamas, the Georgias or stuff like that, even if they don't go on to play professionally, just off of their likeness, they're able to get, you know, a broadcasting job. Or they're just so many different connections because, you know, you look at those schools, they have, I don't even know what, I mean, the stadiums hold 120,000 fans. So you have to assume that the student life, there's what, probably at least 80,000 students on campus. You know what I'm saying? So just networking with those people, I feel like you're automatically putting yourself in a position to succeed. And then with the alumni of the school as well.
No, I love that you said that too, because it brings up the topic of like what athletes now, student athletes are going to have to go through. It's like, do you will go to a bigger school and take advantage of the resources that they have? Or do you go to a smaller school where you're kind of like the man, like the mayor of the city, the mayor of the school, where you're kind of like the top dog and you could kind of take advantage of your NIL through that way? So you bring up great points on both sides. And I think it's important for student athletes to understand that. Especially your scenario, you went to HBCU and then you went to Wagner College as well. And then from the standpoint of, you know, switching gears and moving on, representing and helping out athletes, you know, both in the NFL and the NBA, what are some ways for these athletes to best brand themselves for opportunities? Like, how were you able to, you know, find deals for them, find partnerships for them? Like, what's the secret in terms of being able to brand and monetize off that?
So I think, you know, when you look at like different companies, right, I think the biggest thing is they just want to see a positive image from you. So I think the easiest way to show that is to get involved in the community. I mean, that's like the easiest thing, right? You start local, your hometown, and you also start in your college town, and just build those relationships with, you know, the different organizations and businesses in those two areas, whether it be, you know, like the community center, Boys and Girls Club, or you could even align yourself with like an organization that means something to you, whether it's cancer organization, a domestic violence organization, a sexual abuse organization, whatever the type of organization is. You know, some people have been through certain things in life, or they may have a relative that's been through it, or whatever the case may be. And I feel like, you know, if you just align yourself with them and, you know, help them and help the community, I feel like the sky's the limit, really, because I feel like when you do those things in the community and you help out those organizations, that also helps an athlete on their second contract, right? Because the biggest thing for a team is like, well, why am I going to give you a $50 million contract and I don't know anything about you besides you play football really well, basketball, soccer, or baseball, right? So they need to know who you are as a person. And what other better way to show them that than by, you know, getting involved in the community and helping the less fortunate, you know, giving people opportunities that you never had. So I think that is the best way to, I think that's the starting point and the easiest way. Cost you nothing as an athlete, you know, to go out and, you know, the local turkey drive, go to the supermarket, see if you could partner up with them to help, you know, the community where you're from, or, you know, a book bag drive or a toy drive or whatever the case may be.
Was there like a specific deal or particular deal that you did with one of your, with your clients that you were like, I really love this. Like, this is what it's all about.
So I worked on a turkey drive with Marcus May, who's a starting safety for the New York Jets, with Brookdale Hospital. It was in collaboration with them. And I think that was the most, what's the word that I'm looking for? That event impacted me the most, you know, just going through the community of Brownsville, Brooklyn. And, you know, for the people that aren't familiar, Brownsville, Brooklyn is a low income neighborhood. And just seeing like the smile that was put on those people's faces, you know, you seen grandmothers, mothers, you know, kids, just seeing the smile on their face when they were able to get a Thanksgiving meal and, you know, a free turkey and, you know, just seeing that like really hit close to home, man, just to be able to impact people like that.
No, that's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And can you talk about it from the standpoint of like, you know, there's obviously influencer marketers big, brand managers are popular now because they're vital for athletes, you know? Yes. Talk about it for like the young kid that, you know, may not want to be an athlete, but wants to be involved in sports, whether it's representing brands, you know, for an athlete or representing athletes to, you know, find deals. What does it take? Like, talk about like the hours, talk about the skill sets that you may or may not need.
So in regards to time, I really don't think it takes that much time. I think it's more just kind of like honing in on the little details, right? And finding a brand that makes you want to find an athlete that makes sense for a brand, and you want to find a brand that makes sense for an athlete, right? So, you know, if you're working with an athlete, just see what the athlete is into. You know, if they're into art, if they're into food, if they're a vegan, if they're, you know, a tech kind of guy, and then just finding brands that align with them. But also you want to make sure that the values of the brand and the values of the athlete match up. And I think once you are able to kind of do that, it just makes it easier, because then when you reach out to the brand initially and, you know, and you say, you know, I have this guy, this athlete, you know, this is what his following is like on these different, social platforms. You know, he's from this area. He's a big tech guy. You know, he plays video games in the off season, or, you know, he's into building computers. When you reach out to the company, it's like, okay, well, you know, we're a computer company. You know, we don't have a brand ambassador in this region. This is someone that we're looking for. It kind of just makes it a lot easier for you.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Finding brands that you're associated with from a passion, creative skill set standpoint. So now let's get into you. So you decided to get back into your, like, one of your first true loves, acting. What was that process like? You know, we see a lot of athlete turn actors, you know, talk about, you know, how did you kind of give it all up? I don't want to say give it all up, because you're still doing some stuff from the athlete branding standpoint, but how did you jump into acting?
So, like I said, it was something that I always wanted to do, but I knew when I did decide to do it that I would kind of have to like really take it serious. And so before I even submitted myself for like an audition or anything, I just started with an acting coach. Well, excuse me. I took two classes first. I took a scene study class and I took a monologue class. And those stretched out maybe about, I would say maybe about like 8 months, around 8 months. And then after that, I just worked on like, you know, my headshots and just learning the business for what it is. And I'm still not fully knowledgeable on it. I'm, you know, learning day by day, but just kind of learning the business in a whole. And then after that, I got an acting coach and I decided to start submitting myself for projects. And, you know, I got a manager and an agent. And I'm trying to think. It wasn't easy, and you know, still not easy, right? Because you know, I'm up and coming. We're in the middle of a pandemic, but you know, you deal with a lot of rejection. I don't even want to say rejection. You deal with a lot of being left hanging, right? Because sometimes you could submit for a project and you won't hear anything. Like when I tell you nothing, like nothing, like just nothing, until you see the project on TV, and you're like, oh snap! Like that's the role I auditioned for. You know what I'm saying? But if you're lucky, you'll hear, you know, we liked your self-tape or we liked your audition, but we decided to go in another direction. And then if you're really lucky, you know, you'll hear, hey, you booked, we like you for this role. And, you know, they send you like the offer details. And, you know, if you like it, you accept it. If not, you and your team negotiate it. But yeah, it's just a lot of it's a lot of preparation, right? Because you can get a script, you could work on it for a few days and then you go in to do your audition. And most of the time, the max you'll get is two takes, right? They'll tell you what they're looking for. You'll do one take. And if you're able to knock it out the park, boom, you're good. If not, they'll say, hey, we liked it, but we want you to do this a little bit different. And then boom, you're on the stage. You got to make it happen. And then they're going to say, thank you for your time. You know, if we're interested, we'll get back to you. Yeah. And it's either you did what they needed you to do, or you just, you know, didn't. And that's the end of that.
So talk about it from the standpoint of like, did being an athlete kind of help you for this kind of like constructive criticism, like pressure, high stakes, like trying to get the job done, trying to get the role, how did athlete help or hurt like your transition into being an actor?
I would say that being an athlete helped in a sense of dedication, preparation and stuff like that. In regards to constructive criticism, it's tough because you really don't get it. Like I said, they tell you, hey, we want you to do it this way. And you either do it or you don't. They're not going to sit there and like, baby, right? Because you got to think, most productions, there's what, maybe 10, 15, 20 characters, you know what I'm saying? So they got to audition for all these roles. And then each role, they probably have, I would say like a regular audition, they probably have about 100 people coming in. Self-tapes, they're probably getting thousands of self-tapes for the same role. So it's like, it has to be like quick. You got to be able to... So what I do, and a really good friend of mine, his name is Evan Larea. He's a former athlete as well. He played at Rutgers, and he played for the Buccaneers for a little bit. But like I said, he's an actor now. One thing that he taught me is learn how to tap into different emotions. So when you get a self-tape or audition, learn how to use your life experiences to tap into a certain emotion on demand. And that's helped me along the way because, you know, if there's a... if I get a script where I need to be sad or be able to cry on demand or be aggressive or be funny, like I think about different life experiences and I'm able to just like, boom, tap into that emotion and apply it to that script. So I think that is the biggest piece for me. And then also just really breaking down the scene and understanding what's going on, right? Because when you get a self-tape or when you do an audition, they're giving you aside, which is a portion of a script, and it could be I'll just make up something. So you could be I don't even know, you could be an athlete, right? You could be a soccer player, first day on a new team, and you know, you have all this pressure on you and you got to live up to the pressure, right? You're the first pick. And then when you do your audition or your self-tape, you have a screen behind you. No soccer ball, you're not in a locker room, there's no one else with you. You got to just like make the person that's viewing the self tape envision you drop in that scene. So Yeah, so like I would say, just seeing study, you really got to understand what's going on, and you have to be able to capture that and show it to the person that's watching you behind the screen. Well, you in front of a screen, and they have to be able to envision you there. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Yeah. So shifting gears. All right. Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned, you know, a friend mentor that helps you kind of give you advice in the space. Top five favorite athlete turned actors. And they had to have played professionally or at least D1 or not D1. Let me just say college. So it can't be like played in high school, but, you know, college level from athlete to actor or actress, you know. Who are you? Some of your favorites?
Top five. Oof, yeah. That's a good question. The Rock.
Okay. Yeah, he's he's the gold standard.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Who else? Nnamdi Asamoah.
Okay.
He's another one. Eddie George.
Yeah, that's a good shout too. I think what's great about it is that there is like a plethora of different athletes that have turned actors or actresses. Like, I think it just goes to show you that athletes are able to transition into different phases, whatever it may be. And obviously, you know, you mentioned three athletes that have not only played at a high level, obviously, whether it's CFL, NFL, NBA, John Sally's one athlete turned actor that I would put on the list. I just want to share that it is possible. Like if you put you put the work in, you have skill sets that help you transition to those other spaces.
Yes. And as I'm still thinking of two more, I just wanted to mention, because you said, you know, it, a lot of athletes have transitioned. I think athletes are really good in a workspace in general, right? Because when you look at an athlete, right, you have someone that has traveled a lot. So, you know, they've experienced many different things. Then you have someone that has been a teammate of multiple people with multiple personalities that grew up differently throughout life. And, you know, they're able to adapt and coexist with all of those other people. So I think about like when you put them in a workspace, whatever that may be, they're able to coexist with different people from different walks of life because they can kind of relate it to their respective sports. So I think that's a really big piece. You know, when I do get in a position where I'm able to hire people, I would love to have, you know, different athletes, you know, working for me in different spaces, because like I said, they're able to adapt. They work well under pressure. They know what it takes to win a championship. You know what I'm saying? And that's the same approach that you want, you know, in your workspace.
No, exactly. I want to talk about, you know, we talk about acting Hollywood from the content standpoint and athletes making content. They're starting their own production companies, whether they're directing movies or TV shows or branded content or even like becoming pieces of their own docuseries. What's your take on that? And like, what advice would you have for athletes, you know, considering you're an actor currently, you've worked with athletes on the brand side, bringing them opportunities like this. What's your take on that? And like, how can an athlete succeed in that space?
So I think it's a really good space, right? Because no one can tell your story better than you. And I think like, you know, as an athlete, you're put in a position financially where you are able to do more things than the average person, right? So why not invest in yourself to be able to tell your story and to capitalize financially off of it, right? That's the way I look at it. I think it's a great opportunity for people to get to know, you know, the real you, and whether that be, you know, for them to see like a day in the life of you, or for them to, you know, get inside access to the locker room, or, you know, if you do like a vlog and, you know, they're able to just see what it's like to travel with your teammates and just see like that inside content that they're not able to normally see. I think that gets to show a different side to the athlete rather than just being the athlete. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's a great opportunity. You know, I always think it's great to be able to tell your story. A lot of people are visual people opposed to audio. So I think it's a good idea.
I appreciate that. Last couple of questions that I have for you is that from the standpoint of, you know, Hollywood's a different space, but taking it back to your time as a manager for some of these athletes, have now like made it like clear, like, all right, I'm not spending any of my salary. I'm living off my endorsements. Talk about like the opportunity that athletes have, like from a monetary standpoint, like what are some of the deals looking like? Can they really like live off their endorsements if it's like that, or is that just like the top players?
That's definitely the top players. But I do think that athletes can, I think athletes honestly can survive off of the interest from their playing contracts without touching their actual playing contract. Yeah. I'm a big crypto guy. I'm starting to get into crypto a little bit more. And even just like the stock market, right? You know, what like options trading and stuff like that. I think those are all better than like the traditional 403B, 401K, because, you know, the rate that you get on like a 403B, 401K, it's not really a lot, right? And I feel like as a young athlete, you should take more risk, calculated risk, of course, but I feel like you should take more risk. And I feel like you can, you know, if you take, you know, $1 million and you split it up between crypto and the stock, different stocks in the stock market, I feel like you can generate enough revenue so that you're able to live off of it and still make money off of it and not touch your actual playing contract. And I also think that athletes should learn how to budget, right? Because you have a lot of guys that don't come from money. So when they get money, it's like, oh, all right, let me go buy a chain for all 20 of my homeboys from, you know, that I grew up with. Let me go pay my cell phone, the cell phone bill for my 10 family members. Yeah. Let me go buy my mom, my dad, my sister, my cousin, all of them a car, you know.
That stuff adds up.
Yeah, you want to come to my game? All right, I'm going to fly 10 of y'all out first class. All right, we're going to go to dinner. I got it. You know what I'm saying? And I think, you know, athletes really need to learn how to be able to say no, you know, to their relatives because, you know, your money's not unlimited. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I also think another big thing that athletes should do is really get like a good accountant. You know, there's so many things you can write off as an athlete, right? You create an LLC, you can write off your expenses, you know, for gas and mileage just from traveling from your home to the practice facility and from your home to your respective arena or stadium, wherever you play on game day. You know, if you spend money on food throughout that time, like that's an expense, your cell phone bill. You can write off like office space in your own home. You can rent that space to yourself. That's a write-off. There's so many things that, you know, athletes can do to get, you know, some money back. And some just really are uneducated in that aspect and they don't know that. And they think, oh, because I got, you know, I signed a $60 million deal, like I'm good for the rest of my life. And like you said, and like I said, you know, just spending money little by little, it adds up. And if you're spending more money than you have coming in, when you retire, you're going to be used to that lifestyle and it's going to be hard for you to kind of transition back to a normal lifestyle. So I think if they just take those necessary things, those necessary steps and plan for their future, they will be in a better space.
No, I appreciate you sharing that. I think it's important to understand that while we are talking about financial different mechanisms to, you know, be smarter with our money, it's important that you consult with your financial experts and team before you make any decisions, whether it's crypto, alternative investments, venture capital, real estate, whatever we talk about on this podcast, make sure you consult with your team. That is our disclaimer. Don't go on talking about, Evan told me to do this and Moby told me to do that. Nope, that's not what we're saying.
Don't do that.
Yeah, we're talking about, we're just giving financial education, giving you guys all their ideas and resources to, you know, go back to your team and, you know, figure it all out. So with that being said, appreciate you for that feedback. I think it's really important. But what's next for you? Like what you got in the works? And then what advice do you have for athletes? And I'll let you go. I know it's late where you are. So appreciate you making the time.
Of course. Thank you for having me on the show. So I would say right now, really just trying to drop a little bit more weight. Want to be able to make myself more marketable. So just like I said, trying to lose weight. I booked another project. I'm going to start filming for that in June.
Congratulations.
June. Thank you. I appreciate that. I think June 6th. I got to look at my calendar. But that in that project, I'll be playing a police officer. So kind of complete opposite of the role that I played on City on a Hill. But a goal that I set for myself is, you know, God willing, I will have a series regular role by the end of 2021. That's like a goal that I set for myself.
And that's going to happen for sure.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So that's what I'm really pushing for. But besides that, that's about it. Just, you know, continue auditioning, continue getting better at the craft. And, you know, as long as I get better day by day, then, you know, I'm good.
Perfect. And I think a lot of athletes can take notes of that, because when we give ourselves realistic goals and like whether it's stretch goals, realistic goals, smart goals, I think we live by those results and we're willing to put the work in. So whether it's in sports or, you know, off the field opportunities or transitional opportunities when we're done playing, if we just take that same mindset that we've, you know, had all our lives when it comes to sports, we can definitely be very successful off of it as well. So Evan, once again, it's always a pleasure to connect with you. Thank you so much for taking the time. If you have any lasting words, any famous quotes that you want to leave the audience with, please go ahead and do so. And then for the ladies and gentlemen, we'll have all his information in the show notes and then go from there.
Yeah. The only other thing that I would say really is just educate yourself. I think that's the biggest piece. A lot of people, a lot of athletes, they rely on other people to get certain things done for them. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that, but you should just at least educate yourself and understand the process of it so that, you know, you can look over and make sure that you're not being taken advantage of, because, you know, all the time you hear athletes that didn't know, you know, people have access to that money and, you know, money goes missing and different things like that. So I just think the biggest part of it is just to educate yourself. That is the most important part. And there's so many ways to educate yourself, whether it's Google, YouTube, get a mentor, you know, go to college, whatever the case may be. I think just educate yourself, because at the end of the day, nobody got you like you got you. And I don't even think that's advice for athletes. I think that's advice for, you know,
for everybody. Yeah, yeah, that's what you said. Okay. Like, you got University of Google and YouTube University. You got so many.
Yes.
If you're too afraid to ask questions, then it means you really just don't want to know. So with that being said, thank you guys so much. Make sure you guys please leave a review and rate. It helps us get discovered. It helps us continue to find wonderful guests on the show like Evan, who was so gracious with this time. And with that being said, make sure you guys follow and see you guys next week.
Thank you for tuning into this podcast episode. For more information, check out the show notes and go to our website, www.afrugalathlete.com. If you enjoyed, please leave a favorable rating and review and share and subscribe. Thank you so much.